Hey everybody, it's Brian DeBrain here. It's 1 in the morning, early Saturday, late Friday night, and I just got back from Battle of Los Angeles 2015, Stage 1, and it was hot, it was hectic, and there was a lot of action, and it was a really good show. Some of the Lucha Underground guys seemed kind of a little nervous, a little botchy, but overall, the whole experience was pretty cool. To start the show off, Melissa Santos came out and was introduced as our ring announcer for the evening. I don't know if she's going to be here for the whole weekend, but it was quite the treat. It felt like this mashup of Lucha Underground crossing over into PWG, and it's the perfect atmosphere to do it. And everyone was just really into Melissa Santos. I don't think she realized how big of a star that she was amongst the PWG fans, and you can tell that a lot of the Lucha Underground fans are also PWG fans, and there is a crossover there. So this kind of crossover between the two companies for Battle of Los Angeles weekend really worked out. And right off the bat, we got the first interpromotional match, I guess you'd call it, sort of. Brian Cage against Aerostar. This was kind of botchy, I have to say. Aerostar seemed kind of nervous, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it was a communication issue. He did botch some spots, but essentially, this became an unintentional squash match. Brian Cage just essentially just threw the guy around. I took a picture of it, or actually, I didn't take a picture of it. Mike, got to shout out to my buddy, my good friend, Michael Hernandez, for being my Jimmy Olsen tonight and taking all those great pictures you saw on Twitter. Took that epic picture of Brian Cage suplexing Aerostar for a straight minute. It didn't even look like he broke a sweat in that match. And yeah, pretty much a squash is what I could, from what I can tell, even though Aerostar tried to do some cool shit. Didn't really look as cool just because it kind of came off kind of, you know, he kind of botched here and there. So there was like three or four spots. But I guess this match is not going to be liked by many people maybe. But if you're a Brian Cage fan, it's definitely worth checking out just for, you know, seeing him throw around Aerostar basically. And Brian Cage has some awesome baby blue tights tonight. And never seen him wear it before. Looked really good. And his hair is already growing out. So the next match was Biff Busick and Andrew Everett. Biff Busick, man, holy shit. Everyone loves the guy. The crowd is really, really into him. He's probably one of the more over guys in PWG right now. Andrew Everett trying to get to that level. And this was really good. Andrew Everett tried flipping all over the place. And even at the beginning of the match, he told the crowd, "You see me flip, you take a drink." And I didn't have a drink at the time, but there were people following along. So there was even some flip chants, which got quite the chuckle out of me. So Biff Busick went in there. The crowd told him to kill Andrew Everett. He abided. He nearly killed him a couple times with some epic lariats and some of the most amazing European uppercuts you'll ever see. And it ended with like a hectic series of moves with like a half Nelson suplex and then like a sort of a Boumaier-esque looking, you know, European uppercut by Biff Busick. It was kind of a combination of moves, but came off really well. Biff Busick came off looking like the fucking man. His facial expressions were out of this world. It seems like they're really building him up to go face-to-face with Dragon. And at the end of the show, I saw Biff Busick hanging up his shirts for his merch and stuff, and I walked up to him and I just told him, "Hey, I can't wait for tomorrow, man. It's going to be so awesome." And he just looked at me, and all he said was, "It's going to be violent." And that's all he had to say, and that's all I wanted to hear, and I can't wait for that six-man tomorrow. So the next match is Mark Andrews against Will Ospreay. This was freaking great. Great debut for both guys. Mark Andrews, fucking some of the most athletic, crazy stuff I've ever seen. The way he fucking just countered all of Will Ospreay's shit, it's pretty damn good. And, of course, Will Ospreay, I think Ospreay had the better in-ring charisma. Andrews had the better counters, but this was just, I guess since they worked together so much in the UK, they just knew what to do with each other and knew what spots and what moves to do in order to get over with this crowd, and they knew exactly what to do. It felt like one of those early X Division matches that kind of went a little long, but, you know, long to make it, you know, mean more. This was really good, one of the better matches of the show, and I really hope that they do come back because these guys were just excellent. And I gotta say, Mark Andrews really looks like Professor X, the young Professor X, James McCovey. So the whole, like half the match, I kept thinking, man, Professor X is just such an awesome wrestler. But yeah, just Mark Andrews and Professor X, they look like the same person. So, and then the match before intermission was Jack Evans and Angelico versus Intercity Machine Guns. This is pretty much what you expect. Knowing the two teams, if you know these two teams really well going in, you'd be like, okay, They're going to dance, obviously, and Jack Evans is going to have a dance-off because Jack Evans is known for his dance-offs. And knowing Rich Swann being in this match, of course he'd have a dance-off. And, of course, the match started with, like, a five-minute dance-off that kind of just went on and on. But it was pretty funny and then eventually broke down into the crazy tag match that you thought it was going to be. This match was crazy, just flying all over the place, just and Helico diving all everywhere, Ricochet diving everywhere. Jack Evans doing this crazy, you know, athletic looking, you know, just random, you know, the way he contorts his body is just amazing sometimes. This match is what you expect. It wasn't even the match of the night, actually, which is saying a lot, and this was just, you know, what you'd expect, just craziness. Yeah, craziness in a good way. You know, maybe not a lot of people like this style of match, but for, you know, being live there in the crowd loved it. Just being a part of, you know, the crowd while watching this match was really awesome, so this match might not be for everybody because of the nonsensical storytelling of the match, I guess you'd say, but it does its job and hits the right peaks and hits the right valleys, so I liked it a lot. I got back a little late from intermission just because, you know, hanging out at PWG shows with all the random people on Twitter, so that's how it goes sometimes, but shout out to all the people that I can't really mention, but we had a fun intermission, let's just say that. I came back. It was Trent against Trevor Lee. This played off kind of like one of Trent's junior heavyweight Best of the Super Juniors matches. It felt like that because Trent in the Best of the Super Juniors did the spot where, you know, he would do the 19 count on the floor and get in it before 20. Did the same thing here. They just, you know, suplexed each other, you know, knee strikes from Trent. Trevor Lee just going acting like a wild man. He's trying to, it seems like he's acting more wild than usual, so I like that. Trevor Lee's, you know, as you know, he's my pick. This was kind of a test. I wouldn't say a test, but more of like, you know, Trent is not really a guy. He'd probably seen the main event. So, you know, him having a good match with Trent, you know, kind of sets the table for what's to come. It seems like they got, you know, they got stock in Trevor Lee, and it wouldn't surprise me if he does win. And came off really well. He came off like a star. Trevor Lee did. Again, he did the that apron spot where he German suplexed Trent on the freaking apron. That was insane. Really good match. And then after that, we had, Drago and Pentagon Jr. Man, this was a lot of fun. Not the greatest match ever, obviously. Not even the match of the night, but they just gelled really well, obviously, because, you know, they work with each other, AAA and Lucha Underground and whatnot, so Pentagon Jr. is just unbelievable live. His presence, his in-ring charisma, the way he just interacts with the crowd. You can tell that, you know, he just knows how to control the crowd, you know what I mean? Or not necessarily control it, but just play off of it and just feed off of it. And he looked like a crazy man. He didn't even wait for the introductions by Melissa Santos. He just went right at friggin' Drago and went at it right from the start. Of course, there was dives all over the place, and Pentagon Jr. didn't break anyone's arm this time. He didn't even attempt an arm bar. That could be just the Lucha Underground thing. But his finish was the package pile driver in this one, which could be interesting down the line on maybe Sunday, because as you know, my theory that, I don't know if it'll eventually come true, but Trevor Lee has been teasing the package pile driver in PWG for over a year and a half now, and perhaps it might, you know, mesh up with Pentagon Jr. and kind of play off of that, maybe. You never know, but it would be interesting to see, like, a Pentagon Jr. Trevor Lee face off, and they kind of tease the package pile driver on one another, but Pentagon Jr., he might be a heel, but he got more pop, he got a bigger pop than Drago, and I think Pentagon Jr. is just someone that they should bring in on a regular basis. He seems like he can blend in with a lot of the different styles and not just the Lucha style. He can obviously brawl. We've seen him on Lucha Underground have a crazy death match with Vampiro. So I think Pentagon Jr. should be like, out of all the four Lucha Underground guys tonight, maybe it's definitely him and probably Phoenix are the guys who should maybe be regulars. They gelled better. Drago had a few, one or two, you know, missteps here and there, but this match was just basically, you know, to get both guys, you know, like a showcase for Lucha Underground, but this was like the Pentagon Jr. show for me, so the next match was Phoenix and Matt Sydal. Started out a little, you know, clunky, you know, might be a language issue, which, you know, was one of my concerns going to this tournament, but by the end, they really started to gel, and they were basically, you know, it was almost like a mirror match, like in Mortal Kombat. That's the best way I can describe it. It's just like they have the same body type, both Matt Sydal and Phoenix, And basically, they're just flying all over the place. Earlier in the match, it was actually kind of interesting. They were doing like more of a ground kind of game, which was kind of interesting, you know, working on Phoenix's leg and whatnot. Back and forth, I kind of thought maybe Phoenix would get the win here and kind of get the surprise win and give a Lucha Underground guy a win over a PWG guy, but it didn't. I guess that wasn't the case here. But Matt Sydal goes on to the next round with a Shooting Star, really good match. And then the main event, which in my opinion was the match of the night, Mount Rushmore 2.0, Roderick Strong and the Young Bucks, the world champion, the tag team champions against, I guess they called themselves Euro Trash, apparently. They were the ones who, told Melissa Santos what to call them, and the trio of Zack Sabre Jr., Tommy End, and Marty Scurll are unofficially known as Euro Trash. So there you go, fun name. That's probably going to be a shirt. This match started out, like typical, like if it started out like last year's 9-1 six-man with Zack Sabre Jr. as well with the Bucks. But they kind of got the revenge here because Zack Sabre Jr. got pinned at the end by the sick kick on Roderick Strong. But basically, this was centered around the whole Roderick Strong, Zack Sabre Jr. rivalry. They kind of focused on that as the centerpiece of the match, and it kind of played into the finish when Roderick Strong pinned Zack Sabre Jr. But that was after a 3-on-1 when both Tommy Ann and Marty Scurll were just out of it on the outside, and all that was left was lonely Zack Sabre Jr. to fend for himself against the three Mount Rushmore guys, and he didn't come out so well. So this match started out with a lot of fun, basically the baby faces getting their big, making the heels look like idiots and making them look bad and whatnot. And it just kept it broke down into this, like, I wouldn't say epic six-man tag, but a really, really long, really good six-man tag that kind of put the story over of Zack Sabre Jr. trying to pin Roderick Strong. I mean, that's what they were really trying to do. It wouldn't surprise me if Zack Sabre Jr. got another title match down the line just based off of this match, because they really played it up like they were going to have another match. And, I'm totally open for that. And Roderick Strong, man, just came off like a real dick. Like a real dick in this match. And even before the match, he went up to Melissa Santos and gave her shit. And, just be like, who is this lady anyway? Who are you? Just giving her shit for being, new to PWG and whatnot. But, ever since Adam Cole left, Roderick Strong's been the number one heel in the company. And they needed a heel to kind of build around when they knew Adam Cole was going to leave. So, in hindsight, they kind of, last year's Bola was kind of like, the setup for this year's Bola, essentially. You got Roderick Strong as the champ now. He's kind of playing off that heel turn from last year's Bola. And, yeah, basically, he's just being a dick, and it just played really well into the six-man tag, and even though he did pin Zack Sabre Jr., I can totally see that Zack Sabre Jr. getting another shot just based on the way this match played out, because the way it seemed, if it was just one-on-one, they kind of made it seem like he could have beat Roderick Strong, and that's obviously what they wanted to make you think. So I guess they got the job done there, and it really, it's only night one, we still got a lot more to go. And basically, this was like a taste of what's to come, because, night three, of course, is going to be epic. Night two is going to be crazy with the six-man guerrilla warfare, and I just hope that Biff Busick and Andrew Everett and Trevor Lee are just, they're going to be okay for night three and be able to compete at the tournament, because, right now, Biff Busick and Trevor Lee seem to be the two, I guess, favorites right now, just based on their crowd pops and the way they performed and the way they're being booked, so quite the interesting turn of events to come, I guess, because, we don't even know what's going to happen in night three. Chuck Taylor was on commentary, so I don't know if that means, he's going to have a match on Sunday or something, or maybe, he's definitely not having a match tomorrow. The card is already full, but night three is just, so open that we could probably, I don't know. Chuck Taylor's been talking about a retirement match. Maybe this might be his PWG farewell, kind of like Willie Mack had his farewell match last year. It wouldn't surprise me, and then especially since Chuck Taylor is like one of the masters at the multi-man tag match, and it would just kind of play into the whole, Bola tradition of having the multi-man tag match, and having Chuck Taylor in it would kind of be like his farewell, and it'd be kind of sweet, so it wouldn't surprise me if that happens on Sunday. And I guess that's it for now. Night two is still to come. Everyone's just so excited for that six-man guerrilla warfare. It's going to be awesome, it's going to be scary, it's going to be violent, and I can't wait. So thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow night, and Peace. Boom.